Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you stuff you should know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuffed Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and sitting next to me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
And I think we have some official business to get to.
We do. Very official.
Yes. Well, at least not quite official at the moment, but it's going to be official very soon.
And this is for our listeners in other countries, please humor us. We're going to talk about the United States specifically in this podcast because our President Barack Obama has decided to create a couple of new positions in his cabinet that are going to undoubtedly have an effect on the way we access the internet, the way internet kind of oversight of the internet from a government level. Lots of different things that are going to really have an impact on us as consumers.
That's right. And this is a complete departure from the past. I mean, among the things that the former president, George W. Bush, was criticized for was not being very technical.
Right.
It's sort of well known now that Barack Obama's presidential campaign was extremely technical. He was everywhere on Facebook and on Twitter and all sorts of other social media, recruiting volunteers, trying to get votes. It was a bit of a culture shock for some of the staffers when they entered the White House, because, you know, by nature, the federal government has to be, especially in the White House, it has to be somewhat restrictive as far as technological policies, because, you know, if some of this stuff were to leak, you know, state secrets, that's some pretty serious stuff you don't want just bouncing around on the internet.
Yeah, I've seen the documentary 24. And according to that, it's really dangerous to let that information get out. Also, there's always a mole. There's always a mole.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a completely different
every
show.
Every season. Oh, well, that's true. but anyway, what we're getting at here is way back in November 2007, then Senator Barack Obama announced that he intended that if he were elected, to appoint a chief technology officer, or CTO. And that was, you know, a big deal. And of course, now he has been elected. He has not yet, as of the recording of this podcast, appointed a CTO, but he has appointed a chief information officer, or CIO. And that kind of relieves me in a way. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's because the parameters for the job of CTO were so wide that I was convinced no single person could accomplish all of those tasks. But if he has a CIO and a CTO, then some of those duties can be split across two different people, and suddenly it becomes much more manageable. And some of those duties included here. I've got a list, actually. This is from Congress.
Okay.
It's a congressional report. So the first role would explicitly articulated on President Obama's earlier campaign and transition websites might be described as a supra chief information officer with the mission of using information technology to improve the delivery of government services, increasing transparency of government policymaking, and opening channels for increased citizen participation in government, as well as ensuring that the nation's information and communications infrastructure is robust and secure. In this capacity, a CTO would also ensure that best practices are identified, shared, and implemented across agencies. That's one role. Role number two. It might be described as an advocate for technological innovation in support of national interests such as economic growth, job creation, improvements to quality of life, national defense, and homeland security. Some have speculated that President Obama might charge a CTO with a wider scope of responsibilities, including development and advocacy of national ICT policies like net neutrality and broadband access, technology policies intended to spur innovation and economic growth, intellectual property enforcement, and oversight of a federally backed venture capital fund to support deployment of clean technologies. So that's a tall order.
Yep. And another one of the reasons that I read about was basically to promote the use of broadband in underserved areas.
The
United States is 15th in broadband penetration, about 23 out of every 100 people are served with some sort of broadband, at least according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. So, I mean, there's a lot to do as far as getting technology, especially internet technology, more widespread use in the United States.
So let's break this down and talk about both of these in turn. We'll start with the chief information officer. I blogged about this guy earlier, so I should be able to talk about him a little bit.
So you've got the information on the chief information officer.
Yes, I even have his correct title.
He'd be proud of you.
Yes, I would hope so. His name is Vivek Kundra. And, okay, here's where I get a little ill, because Vivek is the same age as yours truly.
Really?
I'm the same age as the United States Chief Information Officer.
No. I'm older than you.
I know you're older than I am. So you're older than the United States Chief Information Officer.
I'm going to retire after this podcast.
I know. Isn't that incredible? Okay. So granted, now when you're talking about things like the internet, IT infrastructure, that kind of stuff, you really are looking for people who have their finger on the pulse of what's going on right now. So I guess it kind of makes sense that he's going young with this. It's just kind of sobering when you start seeing people who are in charge of very important positions who are the same age or younger than you are. And then you start questioning what you've done with your life. Anyway, so he's 34 years old. He was born in New Delhi. Then his family migrated to Tanzania. And then at age 11, he moved to the United States. And before he was appointed the Chief Information Officer of the United States, he was the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer for the District of Columbia. And so he was actually in charge of 86 different agencies there. He was, they all reported to him essentially in his role as CTO.
And before that, he was the Assistant Secretary of Commerce and Technology for the Commonwealth of Virginia. So yeah. He's held some pretty serious high-end tech positions.
And this is a man who knows his stuff. And he's already come out and talked about the sort of things that he wants to do as the CIO of the United States. And it's a big list. Part of that is, like, we talked about transparency earlier. That was one of the things that Congress said Barack Obama wanted in his CTO. Well, it looks like the CIO is going to handle that part of the equation. And when we're talking about transparency, we're saying that it will be his responsibility to make sure that public information is easily available to the citizens of the United States, that you don't have to jump through hoops in order to find information that should be publicly available. Mm-hmm. To that end, he's trying to establish a website called data.gov, which will kind of be a clearinghouse of all this information, hopefully organized in such a way that it's easy to navigate and find exactly what you're looking for. So this is a big deal. I mean, it's going to theoretically give the average citizen a chance to see the decision-making process that's involved in creating policies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that this really does fall in line with what Barack Obama had done previously, his idea of communicating to the people and making things as clear as possible so that the people know what their elected officials are doing and why they're doing it. 'Cause a lot of times, you know, people will elect an official based upon a party affiliation.
Right.
And maybe a few policies. Like you happen to know that person's stance on a particular issue. But beyond that, we kind of let them do their thing, and then we get upset when tax time comes around, and then, you know, that we get more upset when elections come around and we decide to throw one group out and bring another group in. But we don't tend to build a lot of understanding of what's going on
right.
throughout that time.
Right.
This is an attempt to change that, which I mean, now granted, a huge responsibility is going to fall upon the American citizens to make sure that they actually take advantage of these opportunities. But it's a huge step, I think.
That's true. And it's been notoriously difficult over the past few years to get at a lot of this information, you know, things that should be available via the Freedom of Information Act, you know, simply because it's you know, not ready for public consumption.
Right.
You know, in a public area. So this is a serious step.
Yeah. And now, granted, there's no guarantee that we're going to see a decrease in things like citing executive privilege
or
anything like that. I mean, there's still going to be opportunities for politicians to keep information held back based on numerous kinds of criteria.
Yeah, you know, state secrets and all kinds of other things that are going to, you know, prevent it from being published.
Right. So,
or at least immediately being published.
So time will tell whether or not this data.gov site will really be a great tool, but I'm trying to be optimistic about it because it sounds to me like it could really be an incredible development.
Well, I'm interested to know who the CTO is going to be.
Boy, you and everybody else.
You know, looking at the Business Week website, I saw an article last fall and they had some pretty, you know, because Senator Obama at that time had made public that he wanted a CTO
right.
if he were elected president.
Sure.
And so they started floating some names around. I mean, people like Google CEO Eric Schmidt, who actually pulled his name out of the running last fall. Vint Cerf.
Also another Google guy.
Yes, the chief internet evangelist.
One of the fathers of the internet.
Oh, yeah. And that, too.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer. Microsoft CEO
yeah.
and, you know, fan of all the
developers.
Jeff Bezos.
Ah, yes. That's Amazon.com, right?
Yes, it is Amazon.
Wow, look at that.
And, you know, Ed Felton from Princeton University.
I've heard of it.
And Lawrence Lessig from the Stanford University Center for the Internet and Society, also of Creative Commons fame.
Right.
You know, all those people's names have been mentioned. And just in January, they were mentioning two names that were very probable. One of them was Vivek Kundra.
Yeah, who is now the CIO.
Wait a minute. That leaves one name.
Yeah.
Who would be a Padmasri warrior.
Yes.
The CTO.
I am the warrior fame?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, she's the CTO of Cisco, formerly
of
Motorola.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. With some seriously impressive credentials of her own.
Now, so if the CIO is really in charge of information infrastructure
right.
and transparency uh-huh. and making sure to promote these sort of things, the CTO, what is the CTO going to do? This is a good question. There's not been a lot of discussion, official discussion from Obama's administration to really lay out all the different the different job duties that the CTO would have.
Right.
We can make some assumptions. I mean, it perhaps forming policies on things like technology innovation and even things like net neutrality, that sort of thing. They may be able to shape national policy on those matters. But also other things like kind of investigating sort of the what kind of technology the government can use.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing that boundary a little further. And also another important role will be trying to help create more jobs in the technology field within the United States. And just today, when we're recording this podcast, I saw a report from CNET.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this was very depressing, actually.
Especially if you're in the tech sector.
And you're looking for a job. Because according to CNET, tech job postings fell 40.4% in March over year-ago figures.
Right.
And also most of those cuts came from full-time positions. So if you're out of a job and you're looking for something in the tech industry, there are a lot fewer jobs out there being posted than there were a year ago.
Right.
This is a huge problem. And I mean, it's not surprising because the economy has been so in so much trouble recently. But it's – and also you've heard, of course, about all the thousands and thousands of layoffs that various companies have had to do,
sure.
including companies that had never laid off employees before.
That's true.
Like Microsoft and Google both historically had never really done any of these mass employee layoffs until late 2008, early 2009. So that's a tall order for the CTO. I wish whomever holds that position the best of luck.
Well, one thing about these positions is they're going to have an opportunity to shape what the next CIO and CTO do because, you know, as the originators in these positions, they're going to have, you know, people are going to look to what they do, you know, in successive administrations, you know, assuming that the next president keeps those two cabinet level positions in place. You know, they're going to have a lot of influence on the technological future of the country and the way the government and technology industries interact with one another.
Right.
So, you know, this is not something to be taken lightly.
I also kind of hope that the CTO and the CIO can work together to kind of really take a real close look at the way certain mega corporations are kind of throwing their weight around and essentially dictating what political policy is in the realms of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking here about ISPs. I'm talking about like the
packet sniffing and net neutrality.
That would be it. Or maybe the RIAA or the MPAA.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about gigantic organizations that have been able to pretty much shape the way, the US law, handles, situations over the internet or defining what is a crime versus what is not a crime. And, you know, it's almost like they're making up the rules.
Right.
It'd be nice to have some people who really know the whole background and can really look at the big picture and define what the rules are. Now, maybe those rules won't be the same ones that I would like to see, but at least I know that it would be coming from a more impartial party.
Well, and it's true too that the FCC has had a hand in a lot of this in the past, but
right.
it's really sort of been a different role than what the CIO and CTO would do, would take in this
right.
case, because they're going to be a lot more hands-on. The FCC has their fingers in a lot more different kinds of communication.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's sort of a, I don't know, a peripheral role in some ways. It's, you know, it's not the same, as it would be for these guys who are going to be completely focused on, you know, tech and the internet.
Yeah.
And I do have one more hope.
What's that?
For them. Hopefully they can get this straightened out. I really hope that somebody can identify who took that poor walrus's bucket.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, That bucket has been missing for quite some time.
It has.
And that
someone
walrus
sold it.
Is in a lot of distress.
I know.
I've seen pictures.
Uh-huh.
Many of them. I can't believe you brought that up, Paul.
I'm really surprised that you can't believe I brought that up.
Well, I was also going to say on a more serious note that they do have a big job ahead of them. And of course, not all of these questions will be answered very quickly because when you think about internet, of course, is a global entity. It does not belong to the United States.
And there's a lot of lawlessness on there that just comes from being a multinational entity made up of basically a whole bunch of individual people.
Right. So there are going to be some limitations they'll be working with just based upon what the internet is. So
not to mention just getting started.
Yeah. It's kind of,
and they're not building on anybody else's work.
Right. This is, it's so much of Obama's administration is really all about building from the ground up that it's sometimes really overwhelming.
Yeah.
I'll be amazed. I'm really looking forward to seeing where we are in 4 years just to see how much of that is successful. Because to me, when I look at it, it just looks so monumental that I can't even imagine it.
Yeah. Lest we sound, partial. Honestly, I think these positions would be useful to anybody, Democrat, Republican, Tory, Whig.
Right. Federalist.
Federalist.
Yeah.
Anarchist.
Maybe.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe even like libertarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, these are, so many of us depend on technology. I think this is a good step for anybody to put into practice.
It's much better than ignoring it.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah. So, that was a good discussion on the old CTO and CIO. So that brings us to.
Uh-oh.
Listener mail.
I so gotta bring out earplugs.
So, listener mail. This one comes from Matt. And Matt says,
hi, Matt.
Hey there. That's my line, Matt. So I listened to your episode on niche social networks, and I have one that is growing very fast, myleaky.com. It springs off of the Harry Potter news site, theleakycauldron.org, and it has been growing steadily since January. Well, we have a few Harry Potter fans in the office, so I'm going to spread this information around so that we can see how many of them, brandish their wands online, so to speak. Maybe I should have worded that differently.
I think you might have.
Oh, well, too late now. If any of you would like to send any comments or suggestions or corrections or anything of that nature to us, you can do that at techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Remember, we also have blogs at blogs.howstuffworks.com/category/techstuff. And you can find a lot of this information on our website, howstuffworks.com. We will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Z Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the App and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.